Well, as we come to this harvest of the sea, number 71, we have at least a couple of displays of these in the building today. These signal flags, and some of you who know more about these signal flags than maybe I do may actually have used these on different occasions, and I know that each one has a particular message, and we've already made reference to that in our service. And basically today, what I want to do, just in the time that we have, they say that a picture speaks a thousand words. Well, there are three images, and that is my sermon. I was almost tempted to say, well, those of you who are fishermen, you've already got the message. And I was nearly tempted to say you can now leave, but not quite. No Presbyterian minister is going to let you off that light. But that is essentially my message this morning. That is the message. And for those of you who aren't quite sure what it is, it will all become clear in a moment. It is true to say, isn't it, that in life, everyone has issues and problems and struggles. Life is not a bed of roses. Life is full of ups and downs and all the rest of it. But here is the question that I have for you this morning. To where, to whom do you turn in life in the midst of the ups and downs? Whenever you get that news that really devastates you, whenever you get that message that literally turns your life around and you know that things are not quite ever going to be the same again, to where do you turn? To what do you turn? To whom do you turn? For help, for guidance, for wisdom, for all of that. What is your steadying influence in life? And of course, the answer to that question, there can be a whole variety of answers to that question. Some people literally turn maybe to people within their family for that steadying influence. Some people maybe turn to their spouse if they have a spouse, or to a friend. Other people, if truth be told, turn to medication. That's their steadying influence. And there are more people in our country on medication as a steadying influence than you might care to imagine. For other people, they turn literally to drink or to other things as a steadying influence in their lives. Trying not to go over the top, of course, but the bottle is always there. And I suppose I just want us to think this morning, and I've only mentioned a few things. There are many other things that could be mentioned as the things that people turn to. If I was to try and summarize how people generally cope with life, some people go down the way of pleasure, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, is the philosophy for many. Drown your sorrows, dance away your issues. But isn't it so true that the problem with that is that the next morning, the sorrows are still there. The problems haven't quite gone away. They are still there. And you're still left with that deep sense within your heart of hearts, I'm still looking for something to really get me through this. And I haven't found what I'm looking for. Isn't that true? And of course, for many, many people, they look to not so much pleasure, but religion. I'll try and be religious. I'll try and be good. I'll try and follow God, whatever that means. I'll go to church now and again when I feel like it. I'll maybe even read the Bible occasionally. It's the way of religion. But in contrast to all of that, I just want to draw your attention this afternoon. We're now in the afternoon. Here's the first signal flag, if you like. You will know what that means. It basically means I require a pilot. What is a pilot? Well, I should be inviting some of the other men up here who are more qualified than I to speak of these things. But a pilot basically is a person who has been qualified and is employed by a local authority to get onto the boats, to get onto the ships, and to guide them, maybe in parts of the waters that are dangerous or restricted, where the captain may not have the local knowledge and he needs a pilot to get on board, to guide and to show the way. Now, you can see immediately where I'm going with this, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ also says to us that we require a pilot. We require someone who knows the situation, who's far more qualified than any of us to get on board with us and to guide the way. I don't have this on the screen, but I just recently read this. A TV celebrity said this. This man said this, and I quote. He says, many men, this is just very recently, many men think that drinking and womanizing and fighting and clawing their way up the mountain is the way that life should be lived. But they're wrong. I know because I have been there. If these people are truly honest with themselves and look deep into their hearts, they will see that they're not truly happy. Something is missing, and the thing that is missing is God. Because no one can be truly content and happy until they have found God. I was really struck by that. A man who has known fame and wealth and has lived a particular life, but has come to the point where he says, you know what? It all looked great on the outside, but I was still left with this aching void in my heart. Is that true for someone here this morning? And if you're going to be true to yourself, you realize that that is true, that what the preacher is saying is true, not because he's infallible, but because he is building this message on what is infallible, the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. The old hymn, we're not singing it this morning now, none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. I wonder, do you know that this morning? Do you realize that? And do you understand that that is true in the midst of the ups and downs? It doesn't mean that a Christian goes through life with a big smile on their face every single moment of every single day, because they may be really struggling with many things, but deep inside, if you like, there's a smile. There's a joy. There's a peace that nothing else can give. So we need a pilot. Here's the next one. We've already touched on this. We don't have to dwell on it too long. We've already mentioned this with the children and with the boys and girls, that when you see a boat with that, it's saying, I have a pilot on board. There's a pilot on board. And folks, think about it. A very simple message this morning, but it's brings us right to the heart of the gospel, doesn't it? That the gospel message not only says that we need a pilot because we are sinners and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the gospel message also says that there is a pilot who can get on board with us, who can come, if you like, into the vessel of our lives and guide us through the stormy waters. Be with us whenever you get that news that really changes your life, whenever the illness strikes, whenever the tragedy comes, there will be one who will be with you, who will guide you through those terrible waters, those deep waters. And his name is Jesus. In a moment, we will sing, "The Lord's my pilot. I'll not go beyond his love and care. Where strong tides run and wild winds blow, I'll know his presence there." Folks, think about that. That's something that none of those other things can ever reach. All the medication in the world, all the other stuff, it will never really reach those depths. And the other glorious thing here is that the pilot not only guides us through the deeps and the storms of life, but he brings us safely into the harbor. He brings us safely to the heavenly harbor. "My steadfast love, so richly blessed, I'll make the farther shore." Glory to God. "And in his harbor bright, I'll rest at peace forevermore." Folks, tell me this morning, are you able to say that? That you'll make the harbor shore? That you'll make that ultimate harbor? And men, some of you have come into, oh, it's beyond counting now, many harbors you've come into. And many times you've come in safely, thank the Lord. But will you come in safely to that harbor shore on the last day? Have you got the pilot? If you haven't got the pilot, you're not going to come in safely at all. Because you're in danger of perishing. That's the truth of the matter. So here is the gospel message, that we need a pilot, and that in Jesus there is a pilot. And here, if you like, is the heart of what I'm saying. All persons get on board with this message. That is essentially my message this morning. And part of me would love to have a really big blue Peter flag and hang it out there in the street on a day like this. And for anybody who understood what it was, they would know, get on board. Not only get on board, if you like, for this service this morning and this evening, but get on board with the gospel. Get on board with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Seek the Lord while he may be found," said the prophet Isaiah. "Call upon him while he is near. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Today, not tomorrow, not next harvest of the sea, but today, at this 71st harvest of the sea, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Get on board with Jesus Christ. The Lord himself said, "Come, for all things are now ready." But here's a question I just want to say a couple of things about. And it's a very, very relevant question. And it's lovely to see the church so well filled this morning. And we trust and pray that there will be a good turnout tonight. But you know, we live in a day and age when that's not always the case. We live in a day and age where people are not getting on board with Jesus Christ. Why is that? Well, how long have you got? We could spend an awful long time thinking about that. Of course, I understand we live in a secular age. We live in an age, we happen to live at a stage in the history of the Western world and the history of our nation, where compared to past generations, it is now out of vogue to be going to church. It is now unfashionable to take God seriously. The fashionable thing is now to get rid of God. The fashionable thing now is to throw all of that rubbish out of the window and to be free and to live for self. That is the wisdom of today. led by the Dawkins of this world. And they have ruined a generation. Parents, be concerned for your children. Be concerned for your young people. Try as best you can, not only to pray for them, but to bring along their path good Christian biblical material that can counter the lies of the new atheism, because it is lies. And all of these things are influencing our nation. But you know what? Lest you think I'm just an angry preacher, I'm not an angry preacher. I am not in despair, because God will build his church. God is still God. But I do still ask the question, why are people not getting on board? Let me paint the picture this way. It is because they do not realize that they're almost on the rocks. People today do not realize that they are almost on the rocks. Otherwise, they would get on board with Jesus. They do not actually realize the peril that they are in. Otherwise, they would get on board with Jesus. Many people today are too well off to bother with God or with Jesus. I sometimes think, I'm sure it's true in this community, I'm sure it's true in any fishing community, that churches can run fishermen's services. And, you know, there are people who may be on shore today, connected with fishing, but they don't bother coming to these fishermen's services. Why not? Well, in a nutshell, they don't believe these things. They have other fish to fry. They've more money to make. Because if they believed these things, they would be here. They would have been at Christ Church last Sunday night. They would be at the next fisherman's service over in Mourne or Annalong or wherever. But no, they will not be at any of these things because they do not believe these things. They are neither concerned for their own soul nor for the souls of their loved ones. And that is unspeakably sad. Unspeakably sad. And yet we pray on for their awakening. But what I want to say today is, for those who are here and for those who may be listening to this service on the internet and who are still not on board, I can only plead and call with you as a pastor of Christ to get on board with Jesus Christ. He is the way and the truth and the life. There are people who fear getting on board because they're frightened of what people might say. The men at the harbor might laugh if they hear I've got on board with Jesus. The people across from me in the factory might snigger if they think I've got on board with Jesus. In other words, people fear getting on board because of what others might say. But folks, let me just, before I finish, turn that around a moment. Because I'll tell you what you ought to fear. You ought to fear not getting on board. You ought to fear what Jesus was really saying when he said those words, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You ought to fear rejecting this message and one day finding yourself before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the harvest of sea services that you were at, and you still went out through the door and said, "I'm not really going to listen to that." You will give account. And I say to you today, you shouldn't so much fear what the men at the harbor will say, but you really ought to fear what the living God will say. There's an old hymn, we don't actually sing it, but I was thinking about it recent day. It goes like this: "Out of Christ, without a Saviour, oh, can it be? like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea. Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope nor refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Saviour, one without thee dares to die? You might think quaint words, but folks, think about what it's saying. Daring to face the rocks, the deeps and the shallows without a pilot. Daring to face eternity without a Saviour. My dear friend, I pray that you will awake out of your slumber and that you will seek the Lord, that you will repent and believe the gospel while it is still a day of grace. Today, the 71st harvest of the sea. Let me finish with this question. Can any of you truly say that you'll be at the 72nd one? Not one hand dare go up. Not one. Because there's not one of us, myself included, would dare to say such a thing. This may be your last harvest of the sea. A sobering thought. But folks, I say to you today, get on board with Jesus. Trust him, believe him, receive him, and he'll lead you through the deeps, and he'll lead you to the farther shore. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and loving Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit that you would continue to speak when the preacher stops. Lord, may the Holy Spirit continue to take this message of the Lord our pilot and apply it to each heart. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.